Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ, a blessed one gives to all, wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweet echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, truly, truly, to let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God,
my Savior, standing,
standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fear. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ made free. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fear. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call,
resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Got to understand that right. Jesus is the Savior, but God set it up.
Absolutely.
God told him to be. God originates from God. God, my Savior. When Jesus is the Savior, but God orchestrated everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. God, a creator, God, a redeemer. But he redeemed it through Jesus.
Yeah, God to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he set it up like that. And Jesus will one day, because he was the Savior, he's going to inherit it all. Because
mm-hmm.
it was all created for him.
That's right. For him.
It's by him, but it was not be. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. created because of him. Once you see the picture, you can see it the right way.
Because
the Bible says everything was created by him, and it looks as if Jesus was there to create it. No, it was there. It was created because of him, because Jesus was not there in creation. Jesus, God only was there to 2,000 years ago. He came on the scene.
Yeah, when you will look at it in the context of that, through Jesus Christ, all of creation will one day be redeemed back to God. And you can see why it says everything was created because of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there would be nothing.
Absolutely. Zero. Zilch. Mm-hmm. All there'd be out there is an empty universe.
Sorry.
There wouldn't even be a star, eh?
No, nothing.
Everything. Everything would go back when God had a big council. There was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
This unendless space and no twinkle, twinkle, little star. See, you and I, we see it right. We can go from back there when he had that council right over on into eternity
mm-hmm.
via the scriptures. We can see the picture in Ephesians 1. And because the things that we say, there's spirit in their life. They're the truth. See, it's the truth. How people don't get it, it's the truth. It is the spirit that quickeneth it. We're on to John 6:63. A wonderful passage here. And we gotta speak it to ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have to convince ourselves that we are actually dead boys for this hour. We're that number, that third part of that seventh angel, we're the last part. Like, the only church age where that word is begin, and the days of the voice, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. And God does things in trees.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Brennan wants that first part, then because that word begin, Brother Jackson wants that second part, and God set it up this way that at this end time there's going to be such mad deception that he has to have three parts to the last, that last angelic voice, because the other one saw there was only one voice in the first church age, just the Apostle Paul, and that voice went on till the next one came in.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Laodicea, like I say, because there's such a massive pressure of deception that God did not allow that much of a empty space, eh?
Yeah.
Between Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and then, like I say, we were all being tested, and God was looking for somebody who could trust. And he never missed a beat, and then he put us on out there to do what? To do the very same thing that Brother Branham and Brother Jackson did, only we're the last leg of the journey. This
mm-hmm.
is going to finish it out. We didn't make this up. We just happen to see ourselves in the scripture when we are that. It is the spirit that quickeneth.
the flesh profits nothing. The words that we speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some that of you that don't believe. You can say today, there are many that don't believe. Because it's the last leg of the journey. And we fall into that category where we're back in the book of Daniel. Daniel saw this end time. And he said, it will wear down the saints of the Most High. Mm-hmm. There's a pressure out there. Everywhere you turn, to, it's a pressure to wear us down.
Mm-hmm.
To make us irrelevant. That's about the worst pressure. Because it, make those two guys irrelevant, like they don't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's wearing down the saints of the Most High. Because we read the scripture, and we see the warning signs, and we see the yield signs, and we see the step signs in the scripture, what to watch out for, the deception we have such a magnitude, that it would receive the very elect, and that Jesus was warned what's going to be the sign of the end time, a deception. Deception.
Mm-hmm.
Deception. False Christ, false prophets, false anointed ones. And here we're right in it. Paul said, in the last days they have become seducing spirits, doctrine of devils. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, giving your ear to them, listening to what they have to say. Well, right there, you're flirting with it already, you know, just to give them an ear. And here it says in the other translation, the spirit, it is through the one who gives life. Without that spirit, there's no life. For us to do out there, do our own thing, and yep away, there's no life in it. Listen to these people on YouTube, there's no life in what you're saying. They're gee whiz, and by golly, they don't even know what they're talking about. Because you and I, we know what they're talking about. We know the hour we're living in. So when you hear them, and guess what they do? The first thing they do, they write off course by 7 years to the tribulation. But see, we've saturated ourselves with that word, and we have listened to Brother Branham, and we have listened to Brother Jacks, and then we continued on. We were told, continue down in them. Mm-hmm. Remember the things you've been taught. Remember who you have been taught them for. Continue down in them. And that's why we're in the sifting. That's why the Lord was looking down when they went off the scene. He was looking. And he was spying everything out. He didn't even blink an eye. He was watching what people say, what they do, their attitude and everything. And here he found us out of, like I said yesterday, out of 8 billion people. He found his little town of Portage here.
Mm-hmm.
And he found us. And he was using us. One of the first things he told us to do is put up the lighthouse. And then we did that. We did everything just to follow that's still small voice. And here we are. The spirit is the one who gives life. Human nature is of no help. The words that we have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are many of you who do not believe. And that's just the bottom line. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to say that. Because imagine like you never heard us talk. You know, we've been going through this whole thing like doing this, going out on the waves and you know, flying the waves or whatever they call them, surfing. We've done surfing the waves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, let's say you just stepped in for the first time here, the last 2 or 3 messages we had, and man, these people are very arrogant. Man, do they think they're something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you never listened to them, never heard of it, and you just happen to step in, it'll be a major turnoff. See, we're not making it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's real to us. It's the way it is. It's the spirit of truth, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that'll make you stand, because you love truth. Anybody that loves truth, he's going to grab it. And if you don't love truth, well, it's simply what it says over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and where it says, God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie because they didn't receive a love for the truth. When the truth was presented to them, they didn't like it because it kind of rubbed that pussycat the wrong way, you know. When she started rising up against, you know, eventually she reasoned out, I can't be, I know these guys, I can't be them. It's got to be some great big guy from India or somebody, maybe an angel or something that's very renowned, men of renown, you know what I'm saying? And here, just too simple people, ex-Hutterites and farmers from way back and things of that nature, and just nothing popular in the world of religion or in the word of and the world of whatever they call this thing out there they call church, but we're not renowned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not those men of renown like we were back in the days of Noah. They were men of renown. They were very popular. They were they were looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not looked up. We're just kind of looked down on, and that's the way God chooses. Simple things of this world. And we got our struggles. We're not there yet, but it's what God has chosen us, you know, for the foundation of the world to do this very thing. And so we got to fulfill our responsibility and do whatever we need to do. And here he's put us on this message here.
Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to relay what God has walked us through and what he's brought us to. We've said it so many times that he brought us to the righteousness for our day, like he saved us on the colony. Then he brought us to the righteousness of our day, to that ministry of Brother Brenham and then Brother Jackson. And then when Brother Jackson passed off the scene and we were wondering what is going on, like there was such a darkness that was covering Christianity. Like Brother Jackson had a message, darkness is setting in. And it was last message that he preached was darkness is setting in.
Mm-hmm.
And you could literally feel that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
When these preachers came out with their different ideas, it was a time like no other. It was such a confusing time. Who do you listen to? What do you do? Like, all we could do is stand with the truth. Like, the Lord gave me that scripture to remember this. Continue thou in the things that you have been taught, and remember from whom you've been taught them from, and withdraw from those that teaching contrary to the doctrine that we have been taught. And so we just continue it in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord give you that dream of the minefields and Gideon, and then he told us that he's setting them on slippery slope. And that's what happened to these ministers out there. And this is not being mean or anything. It's just being factual. When, like I said the other day, when I asked these ministers questions, that was after Brother Jackson had already passed off the scene, and I asked Brother Hefner about the wood, hay, and stubble thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he could not give me a logic answer. And then I ask you what it is, and you could tell me in one sentence, like you always say, when the Lord first saved you, he said, I can only reward you for what you have allowed me to do through you. Mm-hmm. And then it made sense to me. That is that gold and precious stone. When you allow God to use you. But if you go out there and build your own Tower of Babel, to make a name for yourself, God cannot reward you for that, because it is not going to be built on that foundation that we talked about yesterday or day before, that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul continued on that building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we're doing. We're continuing on that building that has been built on the Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That's why we're continuing on from Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. That was our church age messenger. And we're just continuing on building on that and doing what God inspires us to do in putting these messages out there. We're just continuing in. And then I asked Brother Mims, like, I had a CD or a cassette from Brother Jackson. It said, your liberty will be your testing. See, and coming off from the colony, I was very ignorant to many things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could not understand some language. Like, today is a whole different world now because of the internet. But back then, the internet was not there, and things were not easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him what that meant, and he had a long sermon there, and when he was done, I could not understand what he was saying. If anybody asked me that question, I could give a person a very simple answer. We have the freedom. Because of the grace age that we had been given, we had the freedom to do what's right, or we had a choice to go down and get drunk and that. But in the end, that's going to be our testing, what we did with that freedom that was granted to us. Did we use it in a godly manner, or did we use it for wrong? That's all. Your liberty will be your testing. That's why it's so, like, when I ask these preachers questions, they could not give me a simple answer. And I always wondered what that is. Like, when I ask you questions, you could give me a very simple answer. See, when God works through you and you gain the understanding of His Word and who He is, His principles, you have a very clear vision of who God is, like you were saying earlier about Jesus Christ when with a song, God our Savior. We know what that means. Amen. Because we see the picture. We know the plan of creation, what God had done there in the beginning when He made that blueprint. And we can walk you through the step by step in the Bible of the things of God, who God is. Like, He is not just something that we repeat, a little prayer that we repeat every day. God is not a repeat. He is a, like, you walk on a journey. Like it says in the scripture, continue thou in the things that you have been taught. God evolves. He cannot stop there with Brother Brenham. He didn't stop there. He continued on with Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. When Brother Jackson went off the scene, he continued on, but not with wrong teachings that are anti-Bible. That's why we stay with the Word of God. We know that prophecies will cease and tongues will cease. All these things will cease. And in the end, it's the Word that's going to judge us. So that's what we like to focus on. We like to focus on the Word of God because that's the only written Word that's going to stand the test of time.
That's the essence of everything. It is. That Word, that quickening.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't quicken you. It's just like millions.
That's right.
Millions. Out there beating their gums together when they're done. There's no spirit, there's no life in them. They're just reading reciting a prayer, or reciting a song, or reciting this. But to us, it's life.
It's
freedom, it's everything. And like you say, we're free to do what's right. Mm-hmm. We're free to go out there and have a steak and all that kind of stuff. And we're free to have, do whatever you want in the flesh. That's your liberty. You could go do it. But see, you and I, we chose not to. I remember when I began, like, prior to 2005, I didn't even know it existed. I didn't know there was such a thing as a Lorraine Hoover. But as I was journeying, having my journey was done, and the Lord would bring you on board. And I could see you have a hunger for the Word. You're just like me. You're obsessed with the Word of God, and that's the kind of person I've been looking for. And I could tell, just the way the Lord has been moving with me in the past, that you and I are going to spend a lot of time together. Because there was nobody in this world that I know that had such a desire and a passion and a hunger for the Word of God. Especially when you told me about, you were asked, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married? And you said to your brother, no, I'm not, I'm going to see what Jesus had for you. Well, see, then these little things, they begin to register something in my soul, in my spirit. And then you said you left with nothing. You left all your furniture at home and your hope chest, everything, and you walked away with a few clothes on your back. And I thought to myself, that's what I expect from a girl that wants to walk on with the Lord. You met all the requirements. And that's when I realized, you know, we're going to hang out a lot together. And the first thing I did, I went on my knees and I prayed to God twice that we would never get involved and an intimate relationship. And He has been faithful to this day, even though everybody looks at us as if that's what this is all about. That's not the journey that we care to have. Because in that intimacy and that sex thing, there is no future in it. It was never meant to be a sex with flesh. In the perfect world, it was meant sex for reproduction purposes only. And when the Lord began to deal with me back in the call, He just came down and said, Sam, your reproduction program is over. That's it. That's the end of it. And I had to accept that because I could tell the Lord is putting me on a course, mm-hmm. on a journey that I had absolutely no control of. And like I said yesterday, I was completely clueless where this is all going to lead to. I had no dream. I couldn't, in my wildest imagination, imagine that that's what we're going to do someday, bring forth that living water mm-hmm. and be found faithful and true and worthy to bring forth that meat and do season. It's got nothing to do with us. You got to see beyond it. Oh, who are they? I know them and this, that, and the other. That's not what matters. What matters is what God has done, what God has honed us out to do, and we just got to be faithful to what He's called us to be. Like we were talking yesterday about that guy that I called him a low life, and really I don't know what else to call him because we taught this interesting about the things of God, and he comes in here and he tries to convince us of a flat earth, and he had no let up, and he continued, and even after we warned him, how could he be that low down? How low down does a person have to become to believe in a flat earth? I mean, in the day we're living in, we could take a jet plane and go out 5,000 feet in the air, and you could see how round the planet is, and any fool can tell you that the planet is round, not flat. And here he comes and tries to tell us the earth is flat, and expects us to believe that stuff. And he's actually that one that accused us of having sex every day, and I'm going to have to confess it to the church. That's the furthest thing from our mind, you know. And here, like the man is like I said yesterday, the man is demon-possessed, and he doesn't even know it. And once you're demon-possessed, the devil can tell you any kind of a lie. Mm-hmm. Even without being demon-possessed, he can tell you things that are not true. And people believe him, but they choose to believe a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we can call these people, they have veered from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They have not done what God requires of them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone the way of Balaam. They've gone down a path that leads straight to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is, they don't even know it because there's something in their life that God required of them, and they just could not do it.
Mm-hmm. See, a lot of these things come from disobedience. When you look at the life of Saul, and he could not be obedient to what Samuel had told him and instructed him through God, that he introduced into his life the spirit of witchcraft, because that's what it introduces. It says so. Disobedient is like the sin of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Along that line. I'm probably not saying it exactly what the Bible says, but it's along that line. And that's what happens, like, when you bypass authority. Like Randy, he never listened to Levi. He was always in the hair with him. Be Levi who he was. I always say, you know, I'm never really going to say anything bad about Levi. I know a lot of people will. But I, for myself, I put myself into his shoes. And I know the responsibility that he had with all these kids, these young people, trying to keep it, you know, in a system of religion, like if it would be in a Christianity setting,
yeah.
Now that would be a lot easier. You would just give the burdens over to God. And maybe that's what Levi should have done, right? You know what? You're responsible for yourself and for your action if that's what you want to do. But being Levi who he is a type of person who is like, he likes to be in control. But that does not give Randy the freedom to always
give him a hard time.
And see, God sees that, and he holds that against you. And until you make that right, you're not going to go anywhere spiritually. You're going to go sink deeper and deeper into the ways of the devil.
Yeah.
That's why he fell into the flat earth. Mm-hmm. Thing and all these. I thought at first when he mentioned a flat earth,
he's joking.
I've never even come across anybody that believes in a flat earth. It had not been introduced to me that flat earth spirit is back in society until Randy came into the picture and he kept going on and on about the flat earth. And I thought to myself, until the Lord started dealing with me, that, you know, I had a dream that somebody came, like, he was after me with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord spoke to me and said, get that Ishmael out of here. As time goes on, he's just going to mock whatever you're doing and whatever God is doing, just like Ishmael always mocked little Isaac. Mm-hmm. And finally, Sarah had to stand up and say, get that Ishmael out of here. And that's what God did. He spoke to my spirit and he said, get that Ishmael out of here. Because over time, he's going to mock what God is doing. And it's just, that's what the spirit does. It mocks God.
See, we thought he wanted help. Mm-hmm. Actually, he called us or something.
Yes.
We dropped a book off or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he contacted us and we went back and forth. And then he wanted to get baptized. So we baptized him. And once we baptized him, I thought that guy is really something. And one of the first things, once together, we talked to him about, I said, Randy, you're going to have to go down to Levi.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to apologize to him for giving him a rough time when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You really gave him a rough time, and you just had a nervous breakdown, that Levi. And I said, you'll have to go down and apologize. And
mm-hmm.
And he promised too. He knew that's what he needs to do, and he promised he's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he never went.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of never going, instead of moving on ahead to get his life cleaned up, what does he do? He rejects what he had promised us to do, that he'll do, and he just hardened his heart to the point where he just went ballistic every time we even as much as mentioned it. And he couldn't come through. He was disobedient to that heavenly voice, not to us. When I told him, you need to go apologize to Levi, the Spirit of the living God had already dealt with him. That's what he needs to do. So what he was rejecting when I told, I was just telling what the Lord told him already and what he told me, because they were words and they were live and they were spirit and they were true. So exactly 100% the truth. And now Levi's passed away and he hasn't done that, you know. So I don't know how that's going to work out.
God can never move you on spiritually. It's impossible. You're going to be left standing there until you do something about it. That's how spirituality works. People do not realize that. God cannot move you on spiritually if there is an obstacle in the way. And you created that obstacle, and you have to make sure that you do something to appease God to remove that obstacle.
That's why I say the words that we speak, they're alive and they're spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't only tell them the truth. The same with that Jeremy. I was only telling the truth. I was in there in the morning, and I was kind of wondering what Jeremy's job is from now and what the Lord has for him. And the Lord told me right when I was getting up, 6 o'clock in the morning, I wanted to just go back home and then tell his people that the Lord had compassion on him. And when I got up, I asked the Lord, Jeremy, what are you going to do? Well, I'll probably go back home and tell the people that the Lord, what the Lord did for me. Yeah, and then he left with those intentions, but he never pulled it out. And then he slipped right back in his old gutter life. Like, we can only tell him, see, these words, to prove to you that what we said, their spirit and their life. The Spirit of the living God told me right in there what to tell him. He told him what to tell him, and he knows for a fact that's what he should have done. But we didn't do it. These words, they're life and they're spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to say here. They're truth, you know. They're life, they're spirit, they're truth. And he knew what he needs to do. He never did it. And so what does he do? The devil takes them and takes them even further into the gutter than they were before. There's nothing we could do. We did our part. We told them spirit and life and truth. And he knew in his heart that's what he needs to do. But what can he do? Because just more proof that the things that we see, their spirit and their life. I just want to say something. You know, I learned a lot from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But we were not on the same page spiritually. But it was when the Lord began to deal with me. And I went to this prayer meeting, this Bible study outside of the colony. And that's a no-no in a colony to go somewhere else for a prayer meeting or a Bible study. That's the unpardonable sin. You could go get drunk if you want. They'll just maybe slap your wrist. But don't ever you go to a Bible study or prayer meeting. Anyway, I went to the Bible study or prayer meeting. And I tried to do it in secret. And my wife found out about it. I told her. I guess she asked me. what I'm doing. I said, I'm going up there to his prayer meeting. And she found out about it anyway, and she threatened me, if you go one more time, I'll report you. So I was afraid she'll report me, but I got so desperate, I didn't care if she reported me or not. So mm-hmm. that one Friday morning, I went for prayer meeting, and it just happened to be that same morning that my dad was looking for me to do mm-hmm. something. And he asked my wife where I met. Well, she said, if you come here, I'll tell you. So he came over, and so he's going every Friday morning, going up there for prayer meeting. I'm an Arden there. So then after I came back, and then he came over, and he knew where I was. Well, I was going to kind of wiggle my way out, you know, and the Lord spoke to me. You tell him the truth. So I told him, I went up to Arden for prayer meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what's wrong with our prayer meetings? Like the evening service, the half an hour gepeat or whatever mm-hmm. they have. It's so like that. I lost my respect for you guys as preachers. You take the word of God and everything is okay. You twist it like a pretzel to fit your own agenda and your own program. And when you have your meetings, you tell everybody it's okay to go to court and to sue people. And that was when these lawsuits were going. And they all had to agree with J.K. that it's okay to do that. Well, I wasn't agreeing with that. And one thing led to another to the point where I couldn't sleep at night anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of this regime that does these kind of things, anti-word. And I just simply told them, I lost my respect for you, and I'm not supporting you anymore. So there was a division. I didn't, like I say, we were not on the same page, spiritually speaking. And eventually, it was like the end of the world with me not supporting him anymore. I guess he had imaginations for me to continue with that Hadarai program,
mm-hmm.
but I saw what they did. I saw it for what it was.
Yeah.
And I could not be identified with that same thing because I took a good look at things where it all leads to, at least to nowhere, at least to becoming another dictator, another JK number two. And then I saw the spirit behind it and I could no longer support him. And of course, he thought it's the end of the world, you know, spiritually speaking. That man, he's not going to support us anymore, and things of that nature. But see, we had to somewhere along the road of life, there was a divide between my dad and me because mm-hmm. I couldn't support that thing anymore. And I didn't know back then where it's all leading to. I didn't know that this is where it's all leading to, and neither did he know.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have known what God has for me, that God has a plan and a purpose for me, he wouldn't have been taking it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't get over that hump. But I knew I could never fit into that chicken coop anymore.
That's
my
right.
days in that chicken coop were over because the Lord had been dealing with me, saying your reproductive program is over. Your life as a Hutterite mm-hmm. is over. Done. We got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I say, he didn't know, and I didn't know where this is all leading to.
Right.
But like I say,
uh-huh.
had he known that someday God's going to call you and me out of 8 billion people, and he's going to get us to do this very thing that we're doing here, then maybe we'd have been happy.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know, like I say, he didn't know, and I didn't know. None of us knew. But see, here we are. So I'm just trying to show you how this works, that people don't really know what the Lord has for me. You belong to the Lord, and I do not belong into that chicken coop. But see, like I say, he really didn't know, and I didn't know. And there was a rift between the two of us. And so much
mm-hmm.
that to the very day that he died, he just couldn't see what I'm about. But I knew the Lord had a calling on my life, and
mm-hmm.
I had to follow through. I had to be obedient to that heavenly voice. Regardless of your father, regardless of your mother, regardless of your family, God has a calling on your life, and you better do it. That's what I did. So I don't feel bad that I didn't agree with him, because his journey and his purpose in life was to support that Hutterite system,
mm-hmm.
and I know there was nothing in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just carried on, and like I say, if I had known where this is all leading to, I would have been a lot happier camper on
yeah.
the journey. But it's probably a good thing I didn't know, because I was just walking by faith from day to day.
That's why when you will look back over your life, like when you talk to the Hutterites, like I talked to this one guy, and he could not get over breaking your baptism, whatever it is they call. Anyway, I said to him, I know where you're coming from. You're inside the box. Mm-hmm. You're inside that denominational structure of the Hutterites, and you can't see beyond the box. And it, by the grace of God, he has opened our eyes and our understanding to what these denomination systems are. And it's hard for us to tell people without coming across as being
mean
and all hateful and all these things. But God opened up our understanding and our eyes. Like when Mike said I was cursed because I said what he was doing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That was the beginning of the end for me for trusting any preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the end for me and a beginning where God was showing me something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to seek out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And that put me on a journey to do that. Was it easy overcoming that? It wasn't easy because I'm very sensitive. These things affect me. But once I was over that hump and I was able to see what God was doing, it became a blessing to me. But at the time it wasn't. But God was setting me on a course to seek out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I started reading my Bible. I started to listen to other preachers on the radio and finding out the truth of God's word. It doesn't necessarily mean that I trusted the preacher, but I went and studied it out to see if these things are so. Like it says in the Bible, to try the spirits to see if they are from God. And I did. I started searching these things out the same way with Brother Brennan. When I got the church age book, I took my Bible and I, scripture by scripture, what Brother Brennan was saying, I took it to the Bible and I said, it is exactly the way he's saying here. And that was the first time that I started trusting someone with the Word of God. That was the first time when I could say, this is the same Spirit that has led me this far, thus far. That is what I am feeling in Brother Brennan.
Yeah.
That same Spirit. And that opened my understanding. And if we would not have Brother Brennan, the Bible would be a closed book to us.
It's nothing.
He has advanced us beyond measure to the things and the understanding of God. And like I always say, when I had a question, I could not go to Lyle Cook and ask a question. I respected him as a song leader, but when it came to the Bible, I had few people that I could trust with an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I could trust you when I had a question, and in my spirit, I knew that answer was the correct answer.
I'm not the difference between them and us. We're not hirelings.
Mm-hmm, that's
right.
We've
been honed out. We've been called for this, and that's why what we say is spirit and truth and life. And like I say, we're not hirelings.
Mm-hmm.
They're hirelings, and they got a job to fulfill, but they're not of God, you know. It'd be better off if they had never said nothing. But to fulfill scripture, it says there will be such deception. These people are just pure deceivers.
Mm-hmm.
And, nothing you can do about it. But see, we've purpose to be faithful. We purpose to have our liberty and do what's right in the eyes of God with our freedom and with our liberty. And that has brought us to where we are today. That has honed us out from, I don't know how many thousands of people that were under Brother Jackson's watch, under Brother Jackson's umbrella. He just found us two to be faithful, to carry on where Brother Jackson left off. Because there has to be somebody.
That's right.
The Bible says, who is then that? Who is then that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord had found? Like, it's not a gee whiz and a hit and miss thing. He, whom his Lord had found, he's going to find somebody. If he has to take a microscope, he's going to find somebody because the Bible says so.
Mm-hmm.
Who is then that? Who is then that? That means he's going to find somebody, that wise and faithful servant whom his Lord had found.
Mm-hmm.
See, he found somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You and I that were faithful and wise enough to carry on and to be entrusted but this tremendous responsibility to deliver that living water for people all around the world that can come, and there it is. Not saying that they will come. You just sometimes go check on the internet how many countries are tuning in, and we find there's quite a few countries tuning in, but we don't know if they'll list. They never report back to us or anything. But see, it's not our motivating factor. Our motivating factor is just to put out what the mm-hmm. Lord gives us to say on a day-to-day basis and let the chips fall where they may. It's out of our hands, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into the heavenly realm, and maybe it's not meant for anybody but the two of us. Who knows? It's like I say, there's really not too many on the scale of eternity that are really checking in. And that is the thing that every human being on the face of this earth is looking for. It's this here truth, this here chapter. There's nothing else out there. That's what they're looking for. But the thing of it is, they do not know that that is what they're looking for. Because they hear or say things and they get turned off, and because of the offense of the word, they just go out and do their own thing. And nothing we can do. We just put it out there. And we don't hate nobody. We just hope and pray that they'll someday see it. And if they don't, it's something that'll go over into the millennium. The words we speak, they're eternal.
Mm-hmm.
They have an eternal purpose. And if people get it, fine. If they don't, well, as long as we do our part. The Holy Father will give you thanks for another day of life and the many things you do for His Lord. Don't allow us to live in a country where we had freedom of choice and we can be free to serve You, Lord, the true and living God, to worship You, Lord, and to magnify Your great name, Lord. We just pray to continue to use us for Your honor, for Your glory. Open the hearts of the people, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.